I'd like to give you all a very warm welcome. Just a few announcements before we begin and before I hand over to James and Josh. The book club is meeting on Zoom this Friday, 8 till 8:40 p.m. See the chapel website for details, how to log on and join. July's book is God's Secret Listener, the biography of an Albanian military captain, now available from Dr. Carswell. Dr. Carswell is over there. On Wednesdays, before our midweek service at 7:30, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to go through the Westminster Catechism over however many weeks it takes. Anybody who'd like to join me for that, you would be most welcome. You may be aware that on this very spot yesterday, two people were married, Alexander and Kezia. They're obviously not here today, but we are going to pray for them now. They did worship with us for a year, 2 years ago. Let's pray for Alexander and Kezia now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of two people joining together in marriage here in this place only yesterday. We thank you for that occasion and we pray for them in particular. We pray for Alexander. We thank you, Lord, for his sincerity, his love, and for his gentleness. We thank you, Lord, for Kezia, for her humour, her charm, and for her deep faith and walk with you. Lord, we pray for them now as a congregation. We pray, Lord, wherever they end up, whatever they end up doing, that you will be with them, that you will strengthen and support their marriage, and that, Lord, they will be useful to you in the kingdom of God. We pray also for their families who are here. We pray your blessing upon their immediate families, but also upon those friends and families who came to chapel and perhaps don't know you personally. Lord, we pray that you would open any hearts which are closed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to hand over to James now.
Hi, and I would like to welcome you again to Martin Top on this fantastic sunny Sunday. Praise the Lord. Welcome back to those who have been before, and welcome if you haven't been. It's great to have you here, like always. I just want to start today with the first couple verses of 1 John, just to remind us why we are here. Starting from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So from that, can we go into our first song, 172, In Christ Alone.
My soul, it's full of stone.
just going to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll go on to our next hymn for the day. You can join me in prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you that we can gather here today and worship you and praise you and learn more about you. Lord, I just want to praise you that we could have a wedding here yesterday. Lord, I just pray you bless their marriage, Lord, that you'll be the center to everything they do in the rest of their lives together. Lord, I just pray that as we open your book today, that we can be blessed, that we can learn, that we can understand what you're trying to teach us through your holy words, Lord. And I just pray for Josh as he opens the book of Amos for us, that he can speak true, he can speak words that are glorifying to you, that it can really stick with us, Lord, that it can change our hearts. Lord, I just want to thank you for the gospel that you have given us, that we can know true salvation through your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, I just praise you and thank you that we can be reunited with you through that ultimate sacrifice. Amen.
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 You can turn to Psalm 1338. Now one piece. I just want to invite you to have a chance to share some scripture that you've read this week, this month, or this year, that as you would really like to share with the rest of the congregation today. So just read any passage you want.
I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all he has made. Psalm 145.
The king of Israel answered, "There is still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micah, son of Imla." This is from Kings, chapter 22, verse 8. I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father,
and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Amen.
Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant who I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and his smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Okay.
Amen.
Thank you for reading. We'll have our next song, 1291. Jesus. Whoops. No, sorry. Today's reading.
We'll be reading from the book of Amos, or Amos, as the Brits say, chapters 1 through 2, verse 6. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire to the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Aven, and the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Taman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the woman with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces. Amid shouting in the day of battle, and a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kiriath. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound. And I will cut off the judge from its midst, and slay all its princes with him, says the Lord. And thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Just lead us in another time of prayer over the, just before our last song, and Josh takes over. Lord, I just want to pray for Josh as he comes up here in a second and prays on this difficult passage in Amos. Lord, I just pray that you can help him speak clearly and truly and help him glorify you through this passage, Lord. Lord, I just pray that he can get everything out of this passage that you want him to get to teach us, Lord. And that if we have heard this sermon before, Lord, that we can be refreshed and made anew, be reminded of what a great God you are, and how perfect your justice is, Lord, that Josh can really teach your true nature through this passage. And Lord, I just pray for Josh that he can have his words come true. Amen.
Amen.
Song 51, Be Thou My Vision.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here. As you've heard, we have a very cheery passage this morning, so I hope you're all excited. If you've not met me, my name is Josh. It's lovely to be here, and please do grab me at the end. I'd love to be introduced to all of you. We're going to be in the book of Amos, as we heard, Liberty. So please do keep that open, be looking at God's word. Please be asking yourself and making sure that what I'm saying is in line with God's word. Let me pray before we start. Father, we humbly come to your word, knowing and realizing that we are sinners and we are broken. And we cannot understand your word without your spirit and without your grace helping us understand. And so, Father, we pray for minds that are able to understand your word. We pray for ears that are ready to listen, to hear your word, to hear you speak to us. And Father, we pray for hearts that are soft and ready to be shaped and molded by you. Father, I pray for myself that you would help me to preach clearly and boldly and truly of your word. Father, remind us all that this is your word, this is not my word. Father, be present with us. We pray through your spirit that you would speak to each one of us this morning. We pray that we would be challenged, but we would be encouraged too. Father, what a joy to be here this morning. Please accept our praises to you and help us to praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, often when I talk to people about God, especially if they're non-Christians, they often say something to me like, I can't believe in a God who doesn't do anything about all the injustice in the world. They say, how can I believe in a God who doesn't care about war or about famine or slavery? Why would he let these things happen? They say, how can I believe in a God who lets thousands upon thousands of people die in natural disasters? They say, how can I believe in a God who lets innocent babies die? And it's a good question. It really is a very good question. If there is a God, why would he let such things happen? As humans, we hate injustice. We hate the brokenness of this world. And we should. A few years back, a friend of mine sadly walked away from the Lord. She had grown up going to church, and she was a lovely girl and a very good friend of mine. But, well, she faced some hard times. Long story short, God's people didn't treat her right or well. And so she started to ask the question, how can I live for a God who lets this happen to me? How can I believe in a God who lets his own people mistreat me? How can I believe in a God who doesn't do anything about all the injustice in the world? And it is a good question. It's a very good question. You see, we want a God of justice. We want a God who cares about the brokenness of this world. A God who punishes evil and doesn't let bad things happen to good people. Well, I think Amos has a little something to say on the topic of justice and judgment, as we've just heard. So let's dive in. Verse 1. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, the vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Joash, was king of Israel. So Amos is preaching to Israel. He's preaching to God's people. And everyone is silent, waiting to hear what Amos has to say. And boom, the Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. It is deafening. You can feel God's anger burning. God's people still silent, hanging on Amos's every word. What is the Lord so angry about, they think? Amos pauses. And then verse 3. This is what the Lord says. For 3 sins of Damascus, even for 4, I will not relent. And the crowd, well, they are relieved. They let out a sigh. Isn't that good? Look at our God, bringing judgment to Damascus. The Lord says to Israel, he says, I'm going to judge Damascus because they have threshed Gilead with sledges having iron teeth. You can picture it. It is like loggers going into the Amazon, decimating the whole land. There is nothing left. Gilead has been turned into a wasteland. And if there are any survivors, well, there's little to no hope of them rebuilding a home. As Amos preaches that God is going to judge Damascus, Israel say, yeah, look what they've done. Look what they've done. We want them to be judged. Our God is a God of justice. Once the crowd have calmed themselves, Amos opens his mouth for a second time. Israel hanging on his every word, eager to hear what their awesome God of justice has to say next. And verse 6, this is what the Lord says, for three sins of Gaza, even for four, I will not relent, because she took captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. The Lord says to Israel, I'm going to judge Gaza, because they have taken captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. And Israel roar even louder, yes, judge them. Look at what they've done. Our God is a God of justice. We want judgment on them. And rightly so. Gaza is selling whole communities. It is a mass-scale slave trade. If it happened today, there would be outrage, and rightly so. But the sad thing is, it does happen today. Forced labor, sex trafficking, children used as soldiers. And God is outraged. He hates slavery. He hates injustice. And so, he is going to judge Gaza. Israel love it. Their God is a God of justice. By now, the crowd are really lively. They're all on their feet, just waiting to hear where Amos is going to next. Verse 9. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Tyre, even for four, I will not relent because she sold whole communities of captives to Edom, disregarding a treaty of brotherhood. So just like Gaza, they've entered into the slave trade, shackling thousands upon thousands. And not just the men, but women and children too, whole communities. It is disgusting to see. But what makes it all even worse is that they broke their treaty. They've taken their own brothers and made them slaves. So they're into the slave trade and they're dirty liars that have no integrity and cannot be trusted. What does God do? Well, he says to Israel, I will judge Tyre. I will bring justice. And Israel cannot get enough of it. Yes, judge them. We always knew we couldn't trust them. Give them what they deserve. Look at our God. He is a God of justice. Amos is on a roll. The crowd love it. And he comes after Edom this time. This is the place that has been accepting the slaves from Gaza and Tyre. So Edom is into the slave trade too. It's not even explicitly mentioned in verse 11. What could be worse than that? Well, the Lord says to Israel, I will judge Edom because he pursued his brother with a sword and slaughtered the women of the land. So Edom is a warlord, slaughtering innocent, defenseless women. Oh, and did you notice that it was his brother that he was slaughtering? Edom has no care for treaties, and certainly no care for the life of another. Isn't it good that God judges this? Isn't it good that God gets angry at this? Because this is wicked. And as Amos says this to Israel, they cheer at the top of their voices, clapping and chanting. And they say they love their God. They love their God of justice. And then we come to Ammon. Why are they going to be judged? Can it really get much worse than this? Surely not all these neighboring countries deserve judgment. Verse 13. This is what the Lord says, for three sins of Ammon, even for four, I will not relent, because he ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead. It really can get worse. This is the world we live in. It is sickening. Unborn babies ripped from the world. It doesn't bear thinking about. And why would Ammon do this? How could anyone do such a thing? Verse 13, in order to extend his borders. That's a good reason there. That was sarcasm. Is this really that far from what is happening in Ukraine today? Murder and war crimes committed on a daily basis, all for the sake of extending borders. The world we live in today is not different from the one we read about in Amos. It is not. And so, God says, I'm going to judge Ammon and Russia for their wickedness. Isn't it good that God judges this? Isn't it good that God doesn't let vile things happen to good people and they go unpunished? Isn't it good that he punishes that? And Israel agree, as they should and as we should. Amos then turns to Moab and he preaches that Moab will be judged by the Lord. Why? Chapter 2, verse 1. He burned to ashes the bones of Edom's king. I imagine lots of us are familiar with the pain that death of a loved one brings. It is awful to be left with just memories and a gravestone of someone who has passed. But it does provide some means to mourn. And Moab have decided to rip the people of Edom from that right. Moab have left no remnants of Edom's king. The people have nobody to mourn over. It is brutal. They have ripped the people of Edom from a right we all should have. So the Lord says to Israel, I will judge Moab for their disgusting disregard of life. And the Israelites say, yes, this is our God of justice. We love our God. We love him. Amos patiently waits for the crowd to settle down. And then he says, verse 4, this is what the Lord says, for three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not relent. And the moment the Israelites hear this, they roar. There is a standing ovation. It is Israel's favorite bit of the whole preach. It's helpful to know that Judah and Israel used to be one, but they later split into the two separate kingdoms. Now, despite them both being under God's law and both being God's people, they do not get along. They do not like each other. And so as Israel hear the word Judah leave Amos' mouth, they roar, fireworks exploding inside of them. They say, we always knew God loved us more. Those in Judah, yeah, they're finally getting what they deserve. What a good God we have, a God of justice. We love our God. But what is Judah's sin that is so awful that leads God to judge them? Verse 4, they have rejected the law of the Lord. Well now, that doesn't sound all that bad, does it? It's not slavery, it's not murder. But it is terrible. It is terrible. These are the very people who were rescued out of slavery by the Lord. These are the very people who were provided for 40 years in the desert. And how do they repay him? By rejecting the Lord and turning to other gods. By breaking the very first two commandments. These people are in covenant with the Lord Almighty. They are God's people, known by him. The creator of the universe has chosen these people and dared to bless them. They are supposed to be set apart, to be a holy nation. And, like every other nation, they've been led astray by false gods. And so the Lord says to Israel, I will judge Judah. I will bring justice. And Israel fall ever deeper in love with their God of justice. What a good God we have, who judges the wickedness of the world. Israel says, yes, judge Judah. Judge that wicked nation who have turned from the God of justice. from our God. What a good God we have. A God who judges wickedness and sin. But Amos isn't quite done yet. He has one more stop. And at this moment, Amos has the biggest pause of the whole sermon. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. And no one moves a muscle. You can hear a pin drop. It is so quiet. And it all falls into place. This is the heart of Amos's sermon. You see, as Israel and as we call out to God to bring justice and judgment, well, it suddenly doesn't look so great for us. As we point the finger at others, asking for judgment, asking for God to bring justice, as we point the finger, well, there's three pointing straight back at us. We want justice, but the problem is, as we call out for it, we don't look at ourselves. We don't look at our hearts. And so we forget to see that we are just as bad as every nation listed here. And the price for our sin is the same as every nation here. Death, judgment, justice. Israel was screaming for God to bring justice and judgment to all their surrounding nations. And in a sense, they should have been, and we should. It is good to call out for justice. Do not get me wrong. In fact, it is right. It is right to call on God to keep his promises and hold his character. But Israel forgot to look at their own hearts. They forgot to look inside. They forgot that they too have rejected the Lord and his law. They had committed the worst sin. I wonder if we've forgotten to look at our own hearts. Maybe we're calling out for justice because of all the wrong things that have happened to us. And keep doing that. That is a good thing. That is a right thing to do. But maybe we're forgetting to ask for mercy. Deep, deep mercy. Because friends, we are not perfect. Nor are we any better than anyone else. Well, the good news is that Amos isn't the end of the Bible. In the New Testament, we read about a man who went up a hill outside of Jerusalem. And it was there that he hung on the cross, taking all the judgment and justice that our sin deserves. All the judgment we read about in Amos, all the unrelenting of God, all the fire he talks of sending, all of God's anger, justice, judgment poured out onto Jesus, the spotless lamb. All the rotten sin you have, and all the rotten sin I have, thrown onto Jesus, thrown onto him. Not only has our debt been wiped clean, but we have been given the most expensive gift the world has ever seen. The gift of eternity with our Saviour that was paid by Jesus giving his life. And so, friends, there is still hope. There is still hope. There is a way out of the penalty our sin deserves. Our God is a God of justice who punishes sin and brings judgment. But he is also a God of mercy, a God of deep, deep mercy. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve an eternity apart from God. But if we run to the cross, if we run to Jesus, there is always mercy. There is always mercy. No matter the sin, there is always forgiveness. Jesus' death was enough. And it is enough to cover all your iniquity. So yes, call out to God for justice and for judgment. It is right to do that. Look forward to the day the Lord will return and he will give sin what it deserves and he will judge it and it would all be wiped away. But remember that as we ask for justice, we have to look at ourselves. And it isn't so pretty. So also call out for deep mercy. And with thankfulness, look to the cross. With complete confidence that Jesus is enough. So, can I live however I please? I can ask for judgment on others and the world. And I can ask for mercy for myself. So, why don't I just do whatever I want? Not at all. Not at all. Feel in your heart the pain the creator of the heavens and the universe went through for you. For you. And be thankful. Be overjoyed that you are worth that much to God. Jesus died for you. He died for you. And he died for me. Don't pay him back like the Israelites did by rejecting the law of the Lord and turning to false gods and looking for satisfaction in drunk, drugs, sex, whatever it is that's grabbing your heart. Don't go there. Devote every part of your being and your life to him. Wake up every day knowing that the very air you breathe is a grace from God. And it is a sign that God loves you. And when you face injustice and the brokenness of this world, as you will, know that God is a God of justice and a God of judgment. He will not let it go unpunished. He is a God who cares about your suffering. But also know that the Lord is a God of mercy. A God of mercy who offers to forgive and to take your burden of sin on himself. Is that not a reason to sing the praises for the rest of your life? Is that not a reason? Maybe you're sat there thinking, I can't believe in a God who doesn't do anything about all the injustice in the world. Or maybe you know someone like that. Well, have we not seen that God hates injustice? And he hates sin. He hates it more than anyone, more than any of us. Have we not seen that he will bring justice? That he will bring judgment? You may think that God doesn't care about you or your suffering, that he just lets it happen, that he doesn't care about you. But God cares more than you care yourself. God cares so much more than you care about your own suffering. He cares enough to send his own son to take the punishment that you and I deserve. If you haven't already, I urge you to ask yourself if you are on the right terms with God. Because the Lord will bring judgment, and he will bring justice. But he has also brought mercy. He has brought mercy at the cross. And he offers new mercy every day. Don't reject the offer of a lifetime. Isn't our God so good? The God of justice, but also the God of the deepest, deepest mercy. Let me pray. Father God, we praise you for the God you are. A God of justice. A God who cares about the brokenness and the sin of this world. A God who will not let it go unpunished. A God who knows the aches and the pains in our hearts. Who knows the trials we've been through in our life. A God who cares more than we could ever care ourselves. Father, thank you that you are a God of mercy. A God who loves us enough to send his very own Son, Jesus Christ, God himself, to die in our place, to take the full weight of our sin on his shoulders. Father, we're sorry when we are so quick to forget that. And we live our lives as we want. And we think that we are fine and dandy like the Israelites. We think that we don't need mercy, but we can call out for judgment. God, remind us that we are broken sinners like everyone else. But also remind us to run to the cross and see how loved we are and that we have mercy. It is offered to us. Father, you are a good God, and we want to serve you for the rest of our days. Take our lives, put us where you want, accept our praises to you. Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing. Let me read verse 2 of How Deep the Father's Love. It's 9:8:8. Verse 2 reads this. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Let's sing this and remember that we are sinners and we are broken, but God gives us mercy, mercy upon mercy. Let's stand and sing. there's anything that you have heard this morning that really causes you to think differently, if you've been challenged on your view of God or yourself, please do grab me or Alan or anyone else around who you know as a Christian. We'd love to chat. Let me pray to close. Father, your mercy and your grace is incredible, and we praise you for that. We do not understand how you can offer us so much mercy every single day, but we gladly accept it. We pray that you would change our lives because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.